the title. I finished the spiritual battle, the theme of spiritual battle, and I'm going. And today, what I want to talk about is the Mosaic Law and the Gospel. Okay, the Mosaic Law and the Gospel. When I first became Christian, I didn't have a Bible, and so I went to a Christian bookstore. And, you know, I was so confused. You know, I didn't know there were so many different versions, the Bible versions. So I picked a Bible with picture. It was the Good News Bible. And that was my first Bible that I bought, Good News Bible. And I read through it from Genesis to Revelation. And I think I did it in a very short time. I read through the whole Bible after I became a Christian. And I had a very difficult time understanding the Old Testament. Okay? I did. I had a very difficult time understanding the Old Testament, especially the Mosaic Law. You know, the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law are the laws given by God to the Israelites through Moses. That's why they call it the Mosaic Law. And in the Bible, it's outlined in the Pentateuch. What's the Pentateuch? It's the first five books of the Old Testament. Okay? The first five books of the Old Testament. And the Mosaic Law includes the Ten Commandments. Right? It includes moral laws, the ceremonial laws, the dietary laws, and the religious observance. That's the Mosaic Law. And there are 613 laws, okay, Mosaic Law given by God to Moses. And I looked at them all. Okay, throughout I looked at it all. Okay. And there's a confusion today when it comes to the Mosaic Law and Christian life. You know, how are we supposed to view the Mosaic Law as a Christian? And you know, me, there are laws, some of the Mosaic Law that I follow, and there are laws that I don't follow. And I could say this honestly, there are many laws that you also don't follow, okay, you don't practice. You know, some, you know, people who say, okay, they focus on few, this is very important, like Saturday as a Sabbath, okay? Saturday as a Sabbath, and I could see why you would say this is so important, because what does the Bible say in the Old Testament? Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day, okay? And to keep it holy, and it gets very specific, when is the Sabbath? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day, and what's the seventh day? It's Saturday. Right? This is what the Bible says. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. Right? And so that's one of the Mosaic Law. But also, the Mosaic Law talks about the circumcision. You know, what is the circumcision? It's an outward physical sign of the eternal covenant between God and his people, especially Jewish people. And when you look at scripture, you know, if you look at this, you know, you could argue, we all should be circumcised. I mean, men here should be circumcised. And Genesis chapter 17, verse 10 to 11 says this. And God spoke to Abraham saying, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Right? Me and you. And Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 says, on the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. On the eighth day. And so from this scripture, you know, you can make a good argument. We all the men here should be circumcised. It's a covenant between God and his people. But there are also, I read 613 laws in the Mosaic Law. And, well, No, I don't think anybody follows this. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27. Do not cut the hair. Well, I did it for about 4 months. I didn't cut my hair. But do not cut the hair at the size of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. Right? Edges of your beard. And when you go through the Mosaic Law, all 613 of them, there's so many dietary laws. And I just list some of them that I don't follow. You know, look at the dietary law, Leviticus 11, the prohibition on pork. I broke that many times. I broke that many times. Okay? Leviticus 3, not to eat fat from some animals. I love fat. Okay? I think that's what makes steak taste good. You know, Exodus 23, not to eat milk and meat cooked together. What does that mean? You cannot have cheeseburger. Because cheese is milk, it's dairy product. You can't mix a lot of the pastas you should not eat. Okay? You cannot mix meat and dairy product together. Okay? So if you had a cheeseburger, you broke this law. You broke this law. Leviticus 19, not to eat the fruit of the tree for the first 3 years. Okay? And then I don't think anybody does. Leviticus 17, the blood of a slaughtered wild animal must be covered with dirt. And there's all this regulation to, you know, that you need to follow. I didn't put it in here to make the food kosher, too. Kosher, that's what it means, kosher. You got to follow the regulation of the dietary law, of the Mosaic law. This is offensive. But this is what's in the Mosaic Law. I don't think anybody follows this. It's very offensive to all women, and it is offensive to me, even as a man. What does it, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 to 23 say? When a woman has her regular flow of blood, the impurity of her monthly period will last 7 days. And anyone who touches her will be unclean till evening. Anything she lies on during her period will be unclean. And anything she sits on will be unclean. Anyone who touches her bed will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water. And they will be unclean till evening. Anyone who touches anything she sits on will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening. Whether it is the bed or anything she was sitting on, when anyone touches it, they will be unclean till evening. Isn't this so offensive? What? But that's what's in the Mosaic Law. Now, as a parent, I want to share with you what the Mosaic Law says. Concerning children. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and mother. And specifically says honor your, you know, father and mother so that you may live a long life in the land that God has given you. So that you may live a long, if you look at the 613 Mosaic Law, you see why. Okay? You see why. Turn to Exodus 21:15. Exodus 21:17 and Deuteronomy 21. Exodus 21:15. Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. What? Exodus 21, verse 17. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Now, this is hard. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 to 21. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his own town. They shall say to the elder, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us." Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. Right? none of you practiced this Mosaic law. Why? Because then we wouldn't have a youth ministry here or children ministry. That's why they didn't live too long back then. So what are we supposed to do with the Mosaic law as a Christian? Are we, you know, the spirit of the Mosaic laws, you're supposed to follow all 613 laws. You're supposed to obey all of them. You can't, you know. But when you look, okay, at all the 613 law, this should be your conclusion. Impossible. Impossible. It's impossible. Even, I'm going to go through this a little later, so soon. Even the Sabbath law in the Mosaic law, even the laws of this regulation for the Sabbath, in my opinion, is impossible. It's impossible. So 613 is impossible to follow. So are we supposed to pick and choose which one to follow, which one not to follow? Then the problem is there will be so many different opinions and so much conflict. Because I can really, through the Mosaic law, I can argue that we should stone your child based on the Mosaic law. I can argue from Mosaic law, if you don't circumcise your child, you are disobeying God. Another person can argue, okay, you're not a good Christian. You don't love God because you don't tithe according to the Mosaic law. And most people don't know this, okay? The Mosaic law has three different tithes. Did you know that? There's three different tithes. There's the Levitical tithe. There's the annual festival tithe. And the triannual poor tithe. And so, if you put all the, you know, what the Mosaic law says about tithe, I calculated it, it means you should give 23% a year of everything that you make. 23%. And so you could take the Mosaic, I looked at how much you gave, and you go, you're not a good Christian. It's not 23%. You don't love God. So, why is the Mosaic law there in the Old Testament? As a Christian, we need to look at the Mosaic law through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to use the Mosaic law, what the Mosaic law says about the Sabbath, not to burden you, okay? It's not supposed to, but you see it, what the Mosaic law says about the Sabbath, and you see even something simple as the laws of the Sabbath, that you need Jesus. You need Jesus. When it comes to the Sabbath, Mosaic law Sabbath, most people focus on Exodus 29, verse 8. Okay? It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do, it says, any work. Okay? Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. Six days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling place. Now, most people, when they think about the Sabbath, this is what they focus on. People who focus on this passage, and I believe it's from a sincere heart, with a heart to do God's will, and you believe in the Bible, and what they focus, rest. Sabbath is rest. It's a day of rest. Don't go to work, you know. Don't have to answer any phone call from work. Spend time with family. I would love that. That's all it was. Spend the day, let's just pray and worship. And, you know, what the Mosaic law says, some people might even focus on. Again, it's not with a bad heart. They're looking at scripture. And some even go further that the Bible says Sabbath is a Saturday and not Sunday. Okay? And so from scripture, couple passages, you focus on Sabbath, rest, and it's on a Saturday. It's on a Saturday. Rest, and it's on a Saturday. Now, I need to, you know, my personal thought about, you know, the Mosaic law, Sabbath on a Saturday, and what's going on in the Christian church, Sunday, okay? For Christian, Sunday has become the day of worship, not what the Mosaic law says about Saturday being the Sabbath. And I'm okay with it, okay? And it is based on scripture. Why? Right, you look at the gospel. Jesus did not completely abandon Sabbath, Mosaic law, what the Mosaic law says about the Sabbath. You know, he didn't abandon, you know, what Mosaic regulated about the Sabbath. But Jesus, you look at the gospel, did diminish it again and again and again. He diminished it. Huh? One incident, again, it would happen again. You got to read the gospel. It happens again and again and again. When the Pharisees criticized him for healing on the Sabbath, that broke the Mosaic law. When his disciples picked grain on the Sabbath, they broke the Mosaic law on the Sabbath. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 12, the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath. And then he says this, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Right? What he says, I am greater than the regulation of the Mosaic law about the Sabbath. That's what Jesus is saying. I am greater than the Sabbath. Right? And because of how Jesus viewed the Sabbath from the Mosaic law, okay, the focus went away in the Christian church, away from regulations, okay, to making Jesus the Lord of the Sabbath. Do you guys understand? In the New Testament church, that's what happened. Early church Christian focused not on all the different regulations for the Sabbath, and there are many. There are many. I'm going to go through it. There are many. The early church focused on the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus. But how did it go from Saturday to Sunday? For Christians, the origin of the observance of Sunday is related to Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is one of the most important day for the Christian. Right? Because it was on Easter Sunday Jesus resurrected. Jesus rose from the dead. And so in the early church, what happened was it went away from following all this regulation on Saturday to worshiping Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath. And then because Sunday is the most important day, over time, Christians found it natural to move from Saturday, Sabbath, with regulation, a day of restriction, to Sunday, a day of celebration, brought about by the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what happened. Does that make sense? Now, if you just focus on day of rest and it's just on a Saturday, oh, that's nice. But honestly, Mosaic law for Sabbath is a day of restriction. Tremendous restriction. Huh? Tremendous restriction. You know, again, when you look at scripture and not just a few verses, there are very difficult restrictions on Sabbath. If you look at the Orthodox Jews who study the Word of God, the Old Testament, who memorize the Mosaic Law, and who wants to obey every Mosaic Law. You got to look at how they live. And it is very difficult. Okay? It's so difficult that I believe that the theologian, the rabbis, and the Jewish leader had to kind of make some exception because it was too difficult. Okay? The Mosaic Law, number one, forbids all work. Okay? Forbids all work. It wasn't just avoiding secular job or not going to your business. Okay? This is how serious it was. And this passage shows how serious it was. No, Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 to 36. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Wow. Okay. Gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. Okay, this is very hard. But again, so hard to understand humanly until later I'm going to put the gospel and then it makes sense. And the Lord said to Moses, okay, this is what the scripture says. And the Lord said to Moses, this man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stone outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, as the Lord commanded Moses. Right? This is the Mosaic Law. You know, when it says forbid all work, and you study the Mosaic Law, what it really means is you cannot carry anything. Huh? That's why in Exodus 16, carrying manna on the Sabbath was prohibited. When you see the religious Jews, you see them walking on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, watch them. I mean the religious ones. They don't carry anything. Did you know that? They don't carry anything. It's a prohibition of all work. So on the Sabbath, that includes all forms of repair. Okay? Your pipe breaks on the Sabbath, you leave it alone. You can't fix it. Huh? Any adjustment. You can't make any adjustments. Religious Jews they don't want to water down the Mosaic Law. Prohibition of work forbids them from cutting and even tearing paper. They said that's prohibited on the Sabbath. So I was thinking, what do they do? Okay? So when it comes to, toilet paper, you got to rip it apart, right? Rip it apart, right? What does the religious Jews do? You know what they do? For the Sabbath, they use pre-cut paper. I think before Sabbath, they cut it up and they pile it up and you use that. It's a prohibition of all work, including all forms of writing and drawing. Includes washing clothes, includes removing any spot from clothing. On the Sabbath, you shouldn't do any planting or gardening. That's why the disciples broke the Sabbath law when they picked the grain. And I could go on and on and on. Huh? Number two. The Mosaic Law on the Sabbath forbid lighting a fire. Okay? Lighting a fire. Exodus 35, verse 3. Do not light a fire in any of your dwelling on the Sabbath day. Now, you got to understand from context back then, not now. Okay? this involves making a fire or causing anything to burn. And this, back then, was tremendously difficult. Right? Can you imagine? It goes dark, you can't light a fire. It's completely dark. It's cold, you can't light a fire. Right? You can't cook, you can't do anything. Throughout the whole Sabbath. You know, if you watch any survival show, okay, on TV, any survival show, a person was dropped off in the middle of a forest. This is what it was like on the Sabbath for the Israelite, okay, without any modern comfort. So the first thing they would do, if you watch those survival, they build a shelter, and the Israelite had the shelter. What's the next thing they do? Most of the survival show, they build a fire. They build a fire. Because without it, you will be miserable. It's so miserable. That day is so miserable. Back then, without a fire, okay, the Sabbath law, that Sabbath day was a lot of suffering. On the Sabbath, the Israelites suffered. They suffered. And the religious Jews who do not water down the Mosaic law, they don't turn on stove on the Sabbath. An automobile engine worked by what? Burning gasoline. So they forbid driving on the Sabbath. Right? And it's interesting, when you go to Jerusalem, right, Monday, traffic everywhere. Thursday, traffic everywhere. Friday night, no traffic. There's no cars out there. This big city, no traffic. Nobody drives. If you, once in a while, you see a car driving by, and you say, foreigners. They're foreigners. They're not Jews. They're foreigners. And for the those who really want to follow the Mosaic law, they believe any use of electricity violates the spirit of the Sabbath. And I agree with them. I agree with them. You cannot use your phone. Okay? You cannot use your computer on the Sabbath. Any electrical appliance. Okay? And so when I was in Jerusalem, I was at this hotel that was like 20 stories high. It was a Sabbath. I didn't know. It was my first time there. And it was a Sabbath. And what? This elevator door opened, and I went in, and I'm pressing first floor. The door closes, goes down to the next floor. It opens. I'm like, wait, that's not what I want. I'm pressing, no. Closes, goes down to the next one, and next floor. It went like that for 20 floors. Why? To the religious Jew, pressing your floor is using electricity. So, they have a Shabbat elevator where you don't press anything. You just have to wait. There's an elevator that goes from each floor, opens and closes. You don't have to press anything from floor to floor, down, and all the way up. It took me 20 minutes to get down to first floor. So frustrating. In Israel, they have a Shabbat refrigerator. Why? Because Sabbath is the day of Sabbath. What happens when you open the refrigerator? The light comes on. You just worked. You broke the Sabbath. So they have a Shabbat refrigerator. It's timed. Friday, sundown, the light comes on. On the refrigerator, and it stays on throughout the whole Sabbath. Because you open it, it just stays on. You did not turn it on. You did not work. Okay. That's not all. Okay. Number three, forbids cooking on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. He said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is the day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil. And all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till morning. All forms of cooking and baking is prohibited on the Sabbath, even boiling water. And how does the religious Jew get around this? They cook everything before the Sabbath. They cook everything before. But some of the more creative Jews in Jerusalem, remember I was at the hotel? What happened was I went down to the hall, the dining hall. There were hundreds of Jews eating there on the Sabbath. And this is what they do. When the Sabbath comes, all the Jews don't work at the hotel. And all the foreigners come doing the cooking on the Sabbath. And it's all the foreigners that's serving. And the Jews, they come before the Sabbath, book a room, and they come. They take the Shabbat elevator down to the dining hall, and they sit, and somebody, a foreigner, serves and cooks, and so they could eat, so they don't have to cook. They do all those things in Jerusalem. Okay? And number four, they forbid travel. Right? Exodus chapter 16, verse 29. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. Right? It's just too difficult. Right? So, you know, again, they made exception. I think the first time they made an exception is you can walk 2,000 cubits from this obscure Mosaic law. I looked at it. I go, how did I get that? I don't know. How did I get that? For this? I was looking at it. You can walk. In the 3/4 miles. This is the reason religious Jews live within the walking distance of the synagogue. Okay? Of the synagogue. Now, here's the thing about the Mosaic law, about the Sabbath. Exodus 31, verse 14. Reserve the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. They're not supposed to take this lightly. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Right? It's to be put to death. So if you don't look at the Mosaic law with the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll be very confused. It doesn't make sense. What does I believe this is why the Mosaic law is there in the Old Testament. What does the Mosaic law show us? Number one, Mosaic law shows that we are all sinners and cannot perfectly follow God. Okay? And this is what Apostle Paul writes in Romans 7, and that's what I'm going to go through, Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 7. I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. He's saying the Mosaic, when I studied the Mosaic law and look at all the 613 regulations, I realize I don't make it. Okay? Romans chapter 7, verse 10, 13 to 14. And here's a person, Apostle Paul, who did everything he can to follow the Mosaic law. Everything. He says he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And this is what he says when he looked at the Mosaic law. I found that the very commandment, the Mosaic law, that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, use what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. Here is a person who tried to follow all 613 laws, not just five of them, And you know what he says? As I did that, I realized I'm lacking. I realized that I'm a sinner. Right? And so the Mosaic Law shows you that, and I, that we break God's law all the time. We break God's law all the time. You and I sin all the time. And what the Mosaic Law shows, one sin, no matter how big or little, it brought death. Right? Physical death, eternal death, and spiritual death, separation from God and us. And the Mosaic Law shows this. Any disobedience to God, no matter how big or little, brings death. You break the Sabbath, death. Sexual sin, death. Disobey your parents, death. Carry firewood on the Sabbath, death. See, when I share the gospel with people say they don't need God. They don't need God's grace, and Jesus did not need to die for me. Why? This is what they say. I never committed the big sins. That's what they say. I never committed the big sins. I never killed anyone. I never stole. Because they didn't do those two things, they thought they were pretty good. Mosaic Law models that we can sin in many different ways. We can disobey God without even realizing it. Because the definition of sin is not just with action. We can sin with our words, with our mind. When we get bitter, we sin. When we don't forgive those who hurt us, we just sin. When you get impatient, you just sin. Laziness is sin. Wasting time is sin. Every time I go to a Korean barbecue, I commit the sin of gluttony. I sinned. Jesus tells this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee thought that he was right with God because of two things. You know what he said? Because I fast and because I tithe, I'm right with God. But Jesus said that, no, he was not right with God. He didn't see that he had self-righteousness. He had religious spirit. He had critical heart. He had judgmental heart. He looked down on others. He had pride. And Jesus sees his heart. He goes, there's sin, 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 sin. But because you do two things in the Mosaic Law, you're saying you're right with God. Okay? Number two. Mosaic Law shows we cannot save ourselves. Okay, why don't you say that to your neighbor? Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 24. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 24. So I find this work, this law at work. Here's a guy who tried really hard. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I do my best to follow God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Apostle Paul, Pharisee of Pharisee, could have looked down on all the other Pharisee, but when he understood the purpose of the Mosaic Law and how it relates to the gospel. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? What he realizes, no matter how hard I work, I cannot save myself. Mosaic Law shows God's standard of holiness show God's standard of holiness is humanly unreachable. You say you're able to follow most of the, okay, let's say this. You're able to follow 610 Mosaic law consistently your whole life. Right? That's pretty good. I don't think, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Say you're a special human being. You're a very special human being. And you're able to follow 610, you know, like say, okay, not all the same one. Just like say you just break 3 laws a day. Okay, just 3 laws a day. That's pretty good. I think that's really good. Okay? It's like, okay, you only sin 3 times a day. Okay? That's really righteous, humanly righteous. You only sin 3 times a day. In a day, you know, okay, in one day, you have 1 negative thought. Okay, I got 2 more times I could sin. Okay, I just use that one up. I had a negative thought. Sin one. And then one day you're driving, you know, New Jersey Turnpike, and somebody cuts you off. What? And you complained from your heart. Sin number 2, and at the same time, you cursed that person out in your heart. Sin number 3, now I can't sin anymore throughout the day. If you could sin just 3 times a day, that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. Okay? You're a lot more righteous than me. Okay? Okay? Say you live to, you're 80 years old. Your whole life you just sin 3 times a day. Okay? At the end of your life, you sin. You know, I calculated this. You live for 80 years. You work so hard just to sin 3 times a day. You know how many times you sin? 87,600 times. Huh? 87,600 times you sin. Well, I'm so good. I'm so righteous. See, Mother Teresa understood the gospel. She dedicated her whole life in serving the poor. Every day, that's all she dedicated herself to, serving the poor. But when she saw the holiness of God and her own human holiness, you know, she saw it as this great, great expanse. And for her, the way she would describe it is like, for her, with her own righteousness, even though she works, do good works every day, compared to God's righteousness, this expanse is like the Grand Canyon. And what she could do best is, you know, to jump in her own power. This great expanse is impossible. It's impossible. That's how she saw it. The righteousness of God compared to her righteousness and her holiness. So number 3, Mosaic law points to Jesus as our Savior through the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. In the book of Leviticus, animal sacrifice is introduced. The death of an animal, a sacrifice of the animal, represents the consequences of sin. Sin, you die. You're put to death. But it wasn't just showing the consequences of sin. The animal's life was also offered as a symbolic substitute. This anointing sacrifice were the means by which God would deal with the Israelites' sin and broken relationship between God and sinful human beings. And this is the gospel. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 24 to 25. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the next chapter, Romans 8, verse 3 to 4. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by my flesh. He's saying, I cannot follow all those laws. It's impossible to my human effort. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful flesh as a sacrificial lamb to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus paid the penalty for my sin in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's not enough money in the universe to pay for your sin. There's no one in this world good enough that could die for your sin. No matter how good you are, how hard you work to be good, no matter how talented, it's not enough. That is why there's only one way. God had to die for you. God himself had to die for you. The most precious, the most loving, most holy, most kind, most eternal, most powerful, had to die for you. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Those who believe in Jesus will not be put to eternal punishment, but will have eternal life. And God's people said, let's worship and pray.